It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In the HGTV program Scariest House in America, homeowners show off their creepy dwellings to the actor and comedian known as Retta. You might remember her as Donna from the NBC series Parks and Rec. Here she is at a bachelorette brunch with co-star Amy Poehler.
Let's talk about personal relationships. Who wants to start? Donna?
I have several men in rotation. One's waiting for me out in the car. Don't worry, I rolled down the window.
People on the HGTV show are competing to win a $150,000 renovation, led by the celebrity designer Allison Victoria. This season, there are two Illinois homes featured on the show. One is a former funeral home, sort of. It's in the town of Sheffield, in northern Illinois, population 821. The owners are Brett Seaton and Canton Washington.
My name is Brett. This is my husband, Canton. We live here in Sheffield, Illinois, in our Queen Anne Victorian that was a former funeral home. We bought the house because of what it looked like.
Whether it's
because it was a funeral home or just because of its first owner, there's definitely something here.
Oh, let's come right out and say it, ghost.
With today being Halloween, we thought it would be interesting to hear from Brett and Canton about their spooky home and what it's really like being on HGTV. In order to make our schedules meet, we spoke with the couple earlier this week. Brett and Canton, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
Where were you living before buying the house in question?
Arizona.
What brought you to Illinois and Sheffield in particular?
I got tired of wandering the desert for 40 years.
Basically, the house is what brought us here. We searched all over the middle of the country to get out of Arizona for something historic with just the right everything we wanted, and this is where we ended up. None of us have lived in Illinois before. You know, he spent 40 years in Arizona. I spent 30 years there. He's from Michigan. I'm from Connecticut. So Illinois was just kind of like, well, we can deal with the four seasons again.
In Bureau County, that's kind of the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Was that in your thought process as you're looking?
So when Mom and I came out to look at the house.
In one day,
we flew into Chicago and we're driving, you know, the 2-hour drive down here. And it's like, she's like, there's nothing out here but cornfields. I'm like, yeah, I see that now.
Talk to me about searching for this house. I know you said in the episode that you were not aware of its, provenance?
Right. So basically the way the house was listed on every platform, whether it was Zillow, Realtor, any of the old house sites, they never listed that it was a funeral home. And the funny thing is our realtor said it's in the private notes. I'm like, well, yeah, they have to disclose it at some point. But to us looking at the house and falling in love with it online, we never knew.
So did you find out when you arrived?
We kind of had our suspicions ahead of time, and the realtor, I asked the realtor, and she's like, yeah, I have to let you know before in case you decide it's a no-go to visit it. She said it had been a funeral home. She's like, but I will get all the details and have them for you when you arrive. And I said, that's fine. It didn't bother us. It had been a funeral home, so.
And maybe take us through the history, because that was actually the recent past. This house has a much longer history than that.
Yeah. This house has an interesting history. So we don't know exactly what year it was built. We know that the property changed hands into the first owner's name in 1870. That was George W. Boyden, and he was a banker in...
He was an investment banker, actually, in Buda.
And then he lived here with his first wife and their son, his only child. And then his first wife passed away in the house. And then his second wife, she lived longer than the first wife in the house. Then she passed away in the house. And then in 1943, he went into a nursing home in Kewaunee, and the family sold the house to Carl Johnson, who was the first funeral director to live here with his family. And he actually ran the furniture store in town on Main Street and had the coffin showroom on the second floor of the furniture showroom and did the embalming in his warehouse.
That's basically all it ever was just the parlor. We even had the original casket stand at one time.
I saw it in the episode. Yeah, your TV was sitting on it. Yeah.
Viewings would have been in front of that window.
Right.
And then that is the original coffin stand.
Yeah, the one thing they did not show in the episode, which is kind of the big red flag as you kind of walk up to the house, is there's a 6-foot wide casket ramp that went from the sidewalk all the way to the front door. So, I mean, if you're coming to see the house and for the first time, that was a huge red flag. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. Would it now, have
mind
been?
You, I, oh, go ahead. I never saw the house until the day I pulled in with our fifth wheel.
Yeah, wow. So we bought the house My mother and I saw it for about an hour. We went back to Arizona. We did all the paperwork. We weren't even here for the closing. We were absentee for the closing. And then we showed up 15 days after the closing to move in. And he had never seen the house. So,
well, that's a... going,
what the hell have you got me into?
That's a trust fall right there.
Yeah.
Would it have been disqualifying had there been embalming or some of the more gnarly work of
no? I mean, because what's really funny is, like we said in the show, that first night we knew there was something here, but the house doesn't really, to anybody who comes in, even people who saw the house before, it doesn't give you that creepy vibe. It gives you that, it's got that old house stiff vibe. Like, it's just, the house is very proper, very formal. And it's just, it had a purpose, and everybody in town, that main purpose was the funeral home.
We've had one person that came in, an electrician, to do a minor electrical work. He couldn't get out of here fast enough.
Yep.
Cause he had been here for funerals before, and he was very uncomfortable here. He hasn't even sent us a bill. And that was almost over 6-8 months ago.
Yeah.
So what drew you to being a part of this HGTV show? How did you find out about it?
Well, it kind of fell in our lap, believe it or not. I opened my email one day, and I got this email from our realtor, and I hadn't talked to the realtor since we did the closing. And it's from her saying, this producer has reached out to us and about your home, and they want to know if you're interested in communicating with them about a future project. And I thought, okay, it's very vague. So I reached out to her, and she called me back within like 5 minutes, all excited. She's like, have you watched the show? And I said, what show? She's like, oh, you didn't get the premise of what this is about. I'm like, I have no clue what this is about. And so she's telling me all of this, and she's going, ugliest house, scariest house. And I said, yeah. I said, we've seen the show, we understand. She said, well, we want to make you a prospect to be on the show. Are you interested? And I went, sure. I mean, why not? What's the catch, kind of thing, is what I said to her. And she said, well, nothing really. She said, but I won't lie to you. She said, it's kind of one of those hurry up and wait. We're going to have you send us all these pictures. We're going to do an interview with you, and you're going to wait for the producers to make their decision whether or not they want you on the show. So that was kind of the hardest thing for us, was we did all that. We jumped through all their hoops. We sent them all these photos and small videos, and we did the Zoom interview and everything. And I can't even tell you how many phone calls and text messages and everything. And it was, what, 2 months before we heard anything?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 2 months before we heard anything. And then finally she calls me, and she's like, do you have time to talk? And I'm like, okay. And she's like, they chose you. And I'm like, oh, great. Kind of not thinking that it was ever going to happen at this point. And she said, okay, well, you'll get information from the producers and this and that, and then they'll let you know when the date's going to be. And I said, okay. And, a couple more weeks go by, and all of a sudden they're like, we want to shoot, the first part of June. And this was like, middle of May. And I'm like, okay.
So we had to scurry around, put the organ back in, put the guest book stand back in.
Yeah, things that we had still had that they wanted, because we were basically told, don't touch anything, leave it as it was, when you sent us the photos. I'm like, well, okay, we've made changes. We moved in more.
We hadn't heard from them so long, we gave up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that about HGTV. Like, they have their set ideas. God knows, I even had a friend of mine who was engaged, and they were going to go on House Hunters, and the engagement got called off. The producers still wanted them to go because they had their production schedule to meet, I guess.
It was, yeah. I mean, they had their schedule all set up, and I, we met all their needs for shooting that day. And so they get here, and we're doing the walkthrough, and the producer's like, we have to let you know that, we're going to shoot a lot of excess and we won't be using everything. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, I've done, TV spots for work for my job and stuff. And I said, so I understand you're going to do B-roll and all that. And he was, okay, good. And you understand how the show is going to go. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, he's like, you have to help us. And I'm like, help you with what? What more can I help you with? He's like, well, we can't scare Retta anymore. She's put a kibosh to us playing any pranks on her. So it's okay if you do. So hence the head in the closet was one of those. I opened the closet to show him, the basement door and they went, what's this door? And I'm like, I open it and they saw it sitting on the shelf and like, oh, does it work? Does it, what's it do? And I'm like, I had to go find batteries, but batteries. And that was, you know,
so
one of those things.
You did actually have it. It's not like they gave you that or you.
No, it was ours. I mean, it was one of those things I kind of forgot it was in the closet. And they, of course they noticed it. I'm like, yeah, sure. You can.
Oh, that's great. But you had to put back the little guest book stand. It's funny because they make a point in the episode and she almost says like, well, that's a choice, like a decorating choice as though,
yes,
that was your choice.
At the podium, you could sign the guest book if you'd like.
Oh, you guys still have it up. How about send it to another funeral home?
Yeah. There was the casket stand. They didn't even show you the organ. She made a big point to stop at the organ. And that was kind of I'm really surprised they cut it out of the episode.
So what was it like working with this, fairly famous host, comedian, actress, Retta?
Honestly?
Yeah.
You know that old saying where they say you don't meet your heroes?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What you see when we first opened the door, that's about as jovial and excited as she got through the whole thing, really. I mean, it was going around the house because it lots of stops and starts as they readjust the cameras. It was hot, you know, the air conditioner was on, but it was still hot, you know, and her walking around that little fan, she does that. I mean, that was a given. And it was just, she was, for lack of a better word, just kind of moody. I mean, just that, you know, I'm the star and everybody's going to follow me around. And her hairdresser and a makeup person kept wandering the house with her. And I mean, it was really, truly, yeah, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah. What in person versus what you see on TV, night and day.
Yeah. Huh. And then, of course, we asked for a photo with her. Yeah. At the end, and it was kind of like just before she got in the car to leave, she's like, oh, you really want that photo with me? And you know, all the producers and all the crew were busy trying to wrap things up, and she just kind of grabbed one of our phones out of her hand and took a selfie so she could get out of there faster. So
wow.
Yeah.
Ultimately, are you happy with the that you did this experience, or would you do it again?
To a point.
Yeah. I mean, everybody says, oh, you didn't win.
We didn't want to win. We told them that.
Everybody's like, what do you mean you didn't want to win?
After they were done filming, I asked a few more questions. Well, what we didn't know going into this, you have no say in the demolition. You have no say in the design. And I said, there's no way you're coming into a 155-year-old home and me not have any say in it.
Right.
No, they said, nope, we move all your stuff out. You go away for 6 to 8 weeks and you can't come to the property. I said, we don't want to win.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, that does say, I mean, you do occasionally hear those stories about HGTV shows coming in and kind of, you know, I don't want to say slapdash, but slapdashing the job a little bit. And you obviously have a lot invested emotionally as well as financially, right. I presume.
Well,
in this
and
house.
It was more than just the fact that we've tried to be as true to this house as we can, you know, without, I mean, trust me, there's some things that, you know, the previous owners have done that, we kind of roll our eyes at, but we're trying to be true to the house. I mean, at her age, there is no point in trying to make her a house that's, you know, only a couple of years old. It's not going to happen.
Well, so what's next for you? I mean, you just keep plugging away at the property. What is your grand vision for this home?
So basically we are in mid renovation.
Mid?
I'm being nice. Basically, yeah, we are going to try to restore her back to somewhat of her original glory and put as much of the original details back in. And like the show, like we did say in the show, they did move the kitchen upstairs at one point in this house's history. So we're going to definitely bring the kitchen back downstairs and make it feel like it's part of the house again in the right era. It won't be this sleek and modern kitchen by any means, but yeah.
Well, what a fascinating story. Thank you so much for sharing it. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess, and I know the show really wanted, they were hoping that, you know, the ghost that is here would come out and play. And we've really only had minor experiences, you know, the dog sense things more than we do. But we had the one issue with the lights in that room when we first moved in. We've had a couple other, you know, random things, doors open, we'll come home and doors will be open that are don't open easily by themselves or, you know, stuff like that. But the dogs more than anything are the ones who see or sense something being here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause I mean, after all, his two eyes both died in the house. So there's some, probably
the original owner, you mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy,
right. Yeah. 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 I won't lie to you. I mean, there's a couple of times you go into the basement of the attic and you just kind of, you have that eerie feeling that you're not alone, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Canton, Washington, Brett Seaton, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome.
Brett Seaton and Canton, Washington are among the homeowners featured on this season of HGTV's Scariest House in America. If you want to see how their episode turned out, it's going to be showing on HGTV at 1 p.m. today, Friday, October 31st. You can also stream it online if you have the right kind of TV subscription. We'll put a link to that on our website, 21stshow.org. That's it for us today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Happy Halloween. We'll talk to you again on Monday.